David May joins us this morning. David, good morning or good evening. Thank you for waiting up to speak to us. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
A great pleasure. What made you research this particular this university and the funding at UCT?
Well, one thing when it comes to South Africa, it's been a little bit more on the radar in the United States. It's taken a little more vocal stance when it comes to the ICC case that it's made against Israel, and also just in general, their foreign policy has been more aligned with China and Russia than with the United States. So we're looking at South Africa a little more closely, and the University of Cape Town has this boycott that, while Israel is in this war defending itself against Hamas, the University of Cape Town is out there discriminating against Israeli academics.
And what did you rely on for this research in terms of looking at the funding at the university? How do you go about looking at this sort of the situation there?
This is all open source research. The in the United States, the National Institutes of Health, they put out their list of grant recipients. Mm-hmm. And the University of Cape Town is the largest recipient of U.S. money from the NIH outside the United States.
It's actually incredible. Look, UCT has had an incredible reputation, especially in terms of medical research. At the time the decisions were made, I'm sure it was a good recipient of U.S. funding. What are the criteria? What would, considering the money probably still is going to research, where does the balance shift? When does it get to a point that the United States looks at it and says, you know, it's all very well, but the university is acting outside of the interests of the United States and Western democratic values? How does it get to that point? Is there a point?
Well, within the past month, the NIH, they put out a new mandate that applies domestically within the United States, saying that universities that are engaging in some discriminatory practices towards Israel or in certain diversity measures that the administration does not deem to be helpful, so those domestic recipients of NIH money would no longer be receiving that money. It doesn't apply to foreign recipients, but in the article that I wrote, I make the case that it should. Right. And there was a leaked internal memo from the NIH talking about different countries that are prime for investigation and for scrutiny. And South Africa and China are the two countries mentioned that if there are grants to those countries, they should be looked at with extra scrutiny.
How bad is UCT?
I guess the comparison that I have is in the United States, where there are certain measures, these anti-Israel boycott measures that pass in certain student bodies, right. But they have a sane and capable administration to realize that this is actually not helpful. Mm-hmm. It goes against academic standards, and also, at least in the United States, it will put the university in some trouble. In South Africa, likewise, it's putting the university into some trouble, but it doesn't have that kind of safeguard to prevent the university from taking this decision that is very unhelpful and actually is causing significant financial harm to the university.
Was there a response from the university about your following your article?
I haven't received any response. I do know that they've read the article and that it's been shared with them, and they are, so to speak, put on notice that people in the United States are looking at discriminatory practices, looking at American funding, and making decisions on where U.S. tax dollars should be going and if they should be going to universities that will allow members of terrorists to address their students, but not members of Israeli academia.
You know, I always wonder about this, though, that if you're so caught up in your own narrative and have created an echo chamber that's so powerful, do you think that there are enough sane minds to look at, read an article like this and say, you know, now this could be problematic for us? Or is it looked at and said, you see, the United States are trying to buy us or pay us to think a certain way, and, you know, we want to be independent, we're going to be independent, and we're going to defy the, you know, the big monster sitting across the ocean. I'm always interested if, you know, how this type of thing lands. Does it simply land, you know, for people who are open to, who believe in what you're saying anyway, or, you know, does it open minds, I guess, is the question.
Certainly those are different approaches to the matter. When it comes to the UCT, there's a 30-member council that makes these decisions. It's made up of people from different constituencies, and at least at the UCT, it will boil down to how many of them are pragmatic and have the university's best interests at heart, what is good for the university, for the students, for the success of the university, versus how many people are trying to take an ideological stand on a faraway conflict that doesn't have anything to do with South African education. So, and also in terms of the makeup of the council, some of it comes from is appointed by the Ministry of Higher Education. So they have a little less of a personal buy-in to the success of UCT.
What's also fascinating is I'm always tempted to use the argument that, well, the university isn't cutting ties with Chinese academics or Iranian academics or Cuban academics, where we've seen this history of human rights abuses, many of them actually legislated. The problem with that argument is that it almost creates this idea that Israel is, you know, stands alongside them. But the reality is that they have selected only Israel for an academic boycott. Is that a strong argument to use, or is it self-defeating?
I think you touched on the points right there. Israel should not be in the same category as China and Russia when it comes to human rights violations. But one thing that it does touch on is the idea of double standards lobbed against Israel. Israel is the only Jewish state. It's not a coincidence that it is the only state that's being considered for these kinds of divestments or boycotts. And actually, in one of the, so in June of 2024, when UCT put out their anti-Israel boycott measure, they put out two measures, and one of them was the boycott measure. The other one was an attempt to reframe anti-Semitism so that the UCT's actions wouldn't be construed as anti-Semitism. There's a leading definition of anti-Semitism. Mm-hmm. It's the International Holocaust Sure. Remembrance Alliance definition, and it views that holding Israel to a double standard is a form of anti-Semitism, or it can be a manifestation of that. And instead, the university decided to go with a lesser definition that has been put out by critics of Israel in order to specifically outline that their criticisms of Israel cannot be defined as anti-Semitic.
David, before I let you go, you've written this article based on the research that you've done. What happens now? What are the steps that might be taken to remove the funding from from UCT, if that is the way in which the US decides to go?
Well, first off, the UCT will have options, will have the possibility of rescinding its boycott. It was brought up at the meeting in March and failed. But if UCT doesn't back down from their boycott, it's already, the administration in the United States has put out an executive order halting aid to South Africa. It's recalled the ambassador from South Africa to the United States. So relations are not doing well, and this, if the UCT, one of the premier institutes of higher education in Africa, continues with this discriminatory boycott policy against Israel, it will start raising some eyebrows within the United States and could have broader implications for South Africa as a whole.